To the book of Luke once again in our Advent series as we study these first chapters of Luke's gospel, seeing Christmas past, present, and future. We turn this morning, as I mentioned, to that visit of the angel to Mary. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 and reading through verse 56, the end of Mary's song. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we consider it together this morning. I draw your attention to our text for this morning, verse 35. Verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word brought forth this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that even as we contemplate this true miracle of Emmanuel, God with us, Father, may your Holy Spirit come upon us to open our eyes, to warm our cold hearts, and to give enlightenment to our dead souls. May you bring us ever closer to our Savior, that we may see in him everything we need for our salvation. Grant your blessing to us. Send us your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have before us this morning one of the greatest mysteries and yet also one of the greatest doctrines of the Christian faith, the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, many in the church, ever since the rise of liberalism in the late 17 and early 1800s, have questioned this doctrine. Some, even so-called Christian denominations today, officially deny this teaching altogether. But beloved, we need to understand and wholeheartedly confess with one another this great truth of Holy Scripture, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born both God, fully God, and fully man. And we confess both the deity and the humanity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And beloved, we must also confess here and understand that if the virgin birth of Christ is not true, then we are not saved. That's how important this doctrine is, how essential it is to the Christian faith. Our very salvation rests upon this truth, that in Jesus Christ we indeed have Emmanuel, God with us. So this prediction and explanation of the angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke chapter 1 really marks the crown of all Old Testament prophecy. And it also reveals the supreme mystery of the Christian faith. You'll remember that in our Christmas series, we are indeed studying Emmanuel, God with us. And in our first two sermons, we have seen how God was with his people through the Old Testament period. At Christmas past, as I referred to it. How that took place, how God was with his people primarily through his prophets and the message that they were given from God to bring to his people. And we look closely at the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of their son John, as Luke tells it to us in this same chapter. And you remember we said there that Luke sees John as the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament preachers. And as with all Old Testament prophets, John's message was one of confrontation and salvation. His message was that there is one coming who is going to judge the heavens and the earth, the Messiah, our Savior, and we are called to prepare the way for him. And the angel who now appears to Mary explains to her that she will be the one who in fact is chosen by God to be the mother of this long-promised Messiah. But the angel also reveals even more to this young teenage girl. Her son will not just be the son of a human, of Mary, fully human. He will also be the son of God, fully divine. In her son, this angel declares, all of those Old Testament prophecies will be fulfilled. He truly will be Emmanuel, God with us. Look at how that angel puts this in verse 30. Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You can hear all those Old Testament analogies in the words that the angel speaks to Mary. Now, there are several things that we must take note of here from this, beloved. This is such a familiar story by now to us that we can easily pass over these details too quickly. So first, with me, notice the miraculous coming of Emmanuel. This is the first point of the message, the miraculous coming. The angel tells Mary that this child will be named Jesus in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, that name is Yahshua, Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. In other words, this child, Mary, will be the long-awaited Savior who was first promised to Adam and Eve way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. And this will be the one of whom all the Old Testament prophets spoke, who every true Israelite longed to see with their own eyes. And the angel makes clear that this will not be some ordinary human child that God will then simply adopt as his own and raise up and use in his own special way. No, no. This child will be very much the same as, and yet also very much different from all the other human children ever born. Now, admittedly, this is a mystery, beloved. We do not fully understand how this happens. But the angel tells Mary that this baby will be called the Son of the Most High. Take notice of that again. Verse 32, he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In other words, he will perpetually be God with us. For all eternity, his kingdom shall endure. The angel Gabriel is telling Mary, you see, that Christmas will no longer be in the past. God with us will now be in the present, in the person of this child that you yourself will bear, your very own son. And his conception and birth will be truly miraculous. Now, as every father here knows and remembers who has ever been in the delivery room when his child was born, every birth feels miraculous. The awe, the emotions that course through you as you see that little one make his entrance into the world, as they take their first breath, as they let out that first mournful plaintive cry. You know right then and there that that phrase, the miracle of birth, is more than just a phrase. It's true. Each child that God gives is a miraculous gift from God. And what a privilege it is then, as human parents, to bring that child to the baptismal font, to have that water placed upon them, God's mark, God's sign and seal, and to pledge ourselves to do all that we can to train them up in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord, to teach them of this wonderful, special covenantal relationship that they now have with the Lord God of this universe. So while every child is a miracle from God in that sense, yet, beloved, understand the birth of Mary's child is on a miraculous level far above that, far above what we can even understand. Mary catches the miraculous significance of this, but she's not quite sure she understands what she's supposed to do about it. Look at verse 34. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, beloved, understand, Mary's question expresses astonishment here, but not unbelief. It's important we make this distinction. Mary is not being like Zechariah was, you remember, when Gabriel appeared to him earlier in this chapter. Zechariah, remember, responded in verse 18 of Luke 1, "How shall I know this?" In other words, how can I be sure of this, as the NIV puts it? And remember that we said then that in essence he was saying, "I really don't believe what you're telling me." He's asking for proof. He doubts that what the angel promises is even possible. And so you see, while Zechariah asks, how can I be sure? Mary here is asking, how will this be? Since, and take notice of that last part of her question, since I am a virgin. Understand, Mary knows biology. She's fully aware of what needs to take place and in order for her to become a mother. And so what she's doing here is very discreetly asking the angel, not if this will take place, as Zechariah did, but how is this going to take place? In other words, what's my role in this? What am I supposed to do next? Should she and Joseph move up the wedding date in order to make this happen? What is it that God wants me to do now? That's what she's asking the angel here, beloved. So she is asking for clarification, not for proof. And how does the angel respond? Look at verse 35. Here's the miracle. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And catch what the angel is telling Mary, answering her question, what should I do now? He's saying, you are to do nothing. God will do it all. It is with divine simplicity and yet with holy majesty that Luke explains this greatest mystery of the Christian faith. Verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Beloved, in that verse, we have heaven's explanation of Emmanuel. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, fully human, fully divine, God with us. And beloved, there's no other way that our salvation can take place. Because you see, if Christ's conception and birth were any other way, he could not be our Savior. Because think about this. What mere human could take away the sin of the world? He could never endure the punishment. And conversely, if Christ were only divine, how could he ever relate to us on a human level? How could he possibly understand us and our hurts and our needs and our pains? How could he take our sin upon him and mediate for us? And beloved, you see, the answer is he couldn't. He must be, he had to be Emmanuel, God and man, human and divine. And of course, God the Father understood all of this. He had all of this worked out from the very beginning, before time ever began, the covenant of redemption that we spoke of last week, Sunday, you remember. And even though Mary doesn't fully understand all of this right now, even though she ponders these things, treasures them in her heart, she still has unanswered questions and concerns, yet look at how she responds. Verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Beloved, this brings us to the second point of the message this morning, the humble submission of Mary to the will of God. Her acceptance of this mystery in her heart and in her mind before the awesome presence and power of Emmanuel, God with us. With this statement, Mary, just as Zechariah learned to do in the verses that we looked at last week, Mary is confessing her faith, you see. It's not fully informed. She doesn't know everything about this. She doesn't understand it all. But in full humility, Mary expresses her firm conviction that what God has said will surely come true. And her response reveals both belief and submission on her part. And I want to draw your attention to both those aspects, because those two attributes are to be the trademark of all true children of God. Belief in and submission to the mighty work of God within our heart and in this world. You know, beloved, those who believe most firmly in the absolute faithfulness and trustworthiness of God, we are called then to also submit most patiently to His divine providence in our life, because we believe He knows what's best for us. That no matter what might come our way, if we really believe that God knows what is best, that and that all things are under His control, then we also must live out our conviction that everything that comes our way is for our good. Even those bad things that come our way. And beloved, Mary is a perfect example of this. Now listen closely and think on this with me, because we tend to idealize Mary in the Christmas story, don't we? We tend to think that, well, after this encounter with Gabriel and after she accepts this task, this role that God has given to her, well then everything must have went just fine and dandy with her in her life. That the world was her oyster, as we say, after this, carrying the Son of God in this way. Beloved, that is not so at all. Do you realize this? It's important for us to understand the Jewish culture of that day. Mary understood that what lies ahead for her when she accepts the angel's message was going to be hard. Yet she professes her faith and her willingness to do this in spite of that. In that culture of that day, understand, beloved, Mary is going to be subject to public ridicule and disgrace because she's an unwed mother. Second of all her friends are going to leave her. They want to distance themselves from this woman of loose morals. Third, all the local gossips will start wagging their tongues, talking about this girl who's expecting. Joseph, her fiancé, may even disown her. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 1, we read that he was thinking of putting her away quietly. And finally, according to Jewish law, Mary could be put on trial and even stoned to death for adultery. So this was not some easy, light road that God was asking her to walk. Living out her belief in Emmanuel would mean there would be tough times for her ahead. But she trusted in the Lord, that He truly was with her and so would see her through. And because of this faith, it was easier then for her to submit to His plan for her life, even though it would be hard. And beloved, I wonder how often we don't miss out on the greater blessing that God has in store for us when we only desire to walk the easy path of life. When we pray that all of our troubles would be just gone, that there would be no troubles even in our life. Beloved, oftentimes through the difficult path, God has a greater blessing in store for us. And are we willing to walk that path with Him rather than go it on our own down an easy road? Beloved, if we really believe in Christmas present, God with us right now, then we can confidently face whatever struggle the Lord may bring our way, whatever we face, not just today, but in the future as well. You know, every worship service, we come together and gather as God's people, and we make a proclamation of faith that our help is in the name of the Lord. Do you truly believe that? Do you go out through those doors in this world and live that? This is why we come to church, beloved, to hear this word proclaimed, to witness the sacraments being administered, to profess our faith in Emmanuel, that God is with us. Because you see, us in word and sacrament, we are convicted in our heart and in our soul that we belong to the Lord and that He is leading us through our life, wherever it is that He may take us. And I think especially in the sacrament of baptism, as we bring our children here, we make a clear profession of faith, but it's one of dependence on the future. You know, many in the world around us, some even in the church, would look at Christian parents today and say, you shouldn't even bring any children into this world. This world that's falling apart, disease and death and crime and all the troubles, what a horrible place to bring a child into. Beloved, understand that is not the voice of faith. The person who talks like that has lost sight of Emmanuel. They've forgotten that God is with them. That's how we can bring our children to this baptismal font and give them to the Lord and understand that He will be with them through their whole life long. So, congregation, belief in the Savior, submission to this Savior, going hand in hand together. And this is why, as believing families, we trust and understand at this Christmas season that the greatest gift ever given is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is what makes this the most wonderful time of the year. And let me also say, if there's anyone here who is trying to run their own life, you're ignoring Emmanuel, the only one who can help you with your life. If you're living in despair of this world and what's going on around you, then you need to repent of your sin. Trust in the Savior. Find your hope and your confidence in Emmanuel. And trust in the almighty power of God to watch over you and bless you. That does not mean that when you do that, you're immediately going to have a bed of roses for your life. But it will mean that God will be with you, blessing you, even through those hard days. And so every one of us, I call upon us to make the same profession Mary makes. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Thirdly, then, this morning, and lastly, this song that Mary sings picks up on this very same theme of absolute trust and belief and submission of self to God's greater plan. Now, we don't have time anymore this morning to look at this song in detail, but I want to point out just a few things to you here. Mary's song, found in verses 46 through 55, is patterned very closely after traditional Old Testament Hebrew poetry. It's a powerful confession of Emmanuel, and it's made up almost exclusively of Old Testament verses and phrases. And yet these verses, Mary now understands, have a much deeper understanding today, a higher spiritual application because of what the angel has promised her. Think of what we studied last week, how Zechariah understands now, even with clearer eyes, those Old Testament verses. Mary expresses first, in verses 46 through 49, you'll see, her trust in God as her Savior. He is the one who will lift her up from her lowly position. He is the one who will care for her, no matter what may come from society and from this world because of her state. And next she sings in verses 50 through 53 that the Lord will always guide those who trust in Him. That he will take care of her all along the way. In those verses, notice how there's a reversal of the normal human way of thinking. You know, the world thinks that by taking care of self, looking out for number one, being strong, being rich, that's the way you're going to make it through life. Oh, but no, Mary says, the one who will truly prosper, the one who will be really blessed in this life are those who will submit themselves to the Lord, those who trust wholly upon God to be with them. That is what God's kingdom here on this earth is all about. And then notice in those last two verses, especially the call that Mary makes. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Now remember what we said last week about Abraham and his descendants and about who the true Israel really is in this world. So Mary here is not talking about the physical descendants of Abraham, understand, but rather the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Paul tells us in Romans 9 that the spiritual descendants of Abraham are those who believe in the promise of a Redeemer, the promise of Emmanuel, God being with us. All who believe in Christmas present, the Word made flesh, Jesus as the Christ of God, they are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And so, beloved, I want to ask you, do you believe in this promise? Do you have faith in this Christ of God? What precious heritage we have. What a great story we have to hand down to the next generation of how Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. How he did not leave us in our sins as we deserved, but he took upon himself our own flesh. How he lived that perfect life and died that sacrificial death in order to pluck us out from the fires of hell, and how he worked within our hearts, changing us, making us more and more like him. Beloved, this is indeed the most wonderful time of the year, but not because of trees and tinsel and gifts. It is because of our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. May we never lose our focus in this Christmas season. May we never take our eyes off from the Christ, Christmas present, born of a virgin, living that perfect life, dying that cruel death on the cross of Calvary, yet arising victorious over sin and death and ascending to the Father's right hand. This Son of God came to this earth so that we could be made sons and daughters of God through faith in him. So, beloved, that is the gospel. That is Christmas present. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we indeed can be comforted and challenged in the words of Mary and in the promises made to her by you through the angel Gabriel. Lord, we would pray, may we be able to pledge ourselves, make the promise that Mary did, and then sing the song that Mary did of how it is you being with us that allows us to go and face this world, to live for you, to show forth your praise to the watching people around us. Father, grant your blessing to these your people as they go forth into the world this week. Guide them, bless them. May you indeed be Emmanuel, God with them. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.